So it's good to see everybody here. Everybody. We have a good-sized crowd for the month of November 1982. This year will soon be gone. 1983. Calendars are already coming in for 1983. So we hope that you're feeling good. We know that you have good health while you're with us here today. Let's go to the book of Luke, please. Luke, the 22nd chapter and verse 54. Luke 22, 22nd chapter, and verse number 54. That's the verse we'll start with today. Luke, the 22nd chapter, and verse number 54. As you know, we're going through this book of Luke, verse by verse, word by word, and digging out nuggets that we usually do not find in the King James Version or any other version. But it's our duty as people, as Baptists, as lovers of God's Word, to do that. There are always nuggets in California, Nevada, Arizona that haven't been dug out yet by the 49ers and the men who have dug gold in the last century. Well, it's our duty to dig out gold from the Bible in this century. And so, we're going to do that today. Now, we've come down to the point in our studies where Jesus Christ is in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he's just about to be arrested. As I've told you before, Gethsemane is on the south side of the Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives is about 3,000 feet high. It has a top that's flat. The Romans, the Babylonians, and the others who invaded Israel flattened the top of Mount of Olives. So it doesn't come up to a sharp point, but it's flattened out so you can walk on top and look all over the city of Jerusalem. You can almost see the Mediterranean Ocean, or sea, from the Mount of Olives. So Christ and the apostles are at this time on the south side of the Mount of Olives, and he's about to be arrested by a gang of bloodletting hoodlums. And the 54th verse says, "And then they took him. They took him. They seized him, in other words, as if he were a common crook or a common criminal. Having seized him, they led him away and led him into the house of a high priest. And Peter kept on following far behind." Far behind. Simon Peter had said, "Lord, I'm going to be faithful. I'll do what you want. I'll stay with you." But here he keeps on following far behind. Now this high priest was Caiaphas, the son-in-law of Annas. And historians tell us that Annas was a hissing serpent. And I'm sure he was, from the way he treated Jesus in that mock trial that Jesus had. Caiaphas was the son-in-law of Annas, that hissing snake. Now, Luke alone mentions the house. That is this house of the high priest. And it's implied in Mark 14:53 and Matthew 26:57. And this verse teaches us that Simon Peter kept on following Jesus. He just kept following, but he was far behind. He never did try to get up close to Jesus and walk by his side because he was afraid of these ungodly sinners. He didn't want to be with that crowd, not at this time. So they had arrested his master and had taken possession of him. And though he said he would never forsake Christ, he'd forgotten his promise. Now let's go to verse number 55. "And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall," that is, that word hall there means outer court, the buildings in the days of Jesus, had a courtyard. What we call a front yard today, but this courtyard in the days of Jesus was walled in. Sometimes with a wire fence, sometimes with wooden paneling, And so this room had an outer court, this house of the high priest. Now that's what it says literally in this 55th verse. When they had kindled a fire in the midst of the outer court and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. Well, at least this cowardly preacher had enough intestinal fortitude to get up there and sit down among those ungodly sinners who were about to crucify the Lord. At least he had that much backbone. He had more backbone than a jellyfish. And this word for fire right here, they kindle a fire in the midst of the hall. Now, that doesn't mean a sputtering flame that was giving out more smoke than flame. It was a good fire that had been kindled all around, as the word says. It was a good hot fire, and these guys sat down in a circle. That's what it means. They all sat down around this fire. Now, whether they were sitting on rocks or on chairs or on what, we don't know, but they sat down around the fire. And Simon Peter squeezed himself between two of these men because he was called to and he wanted to keep cool. Now, never before in the ministry of this preacher had he ever done a thing like that. Never before. And so he does that, and that was Simon Peter. Now then, that was verse number 55, and I want to say something about that. The servants made this fire. Those guys who were about to crucify Jesus Christ didn't have enough energy to make this fire, but the servants did. The servants made the fire in the outer court, and Peter sat in the midst of them, and they made a good blazing fire. It was April, and it was cool. And Simon Peter was cool not only on the outside, but he was cool inside, and he had to get warm. And so he associates with sinners on this occasion. I remember reading years ago about a Navajo woman who was taken to the hospital in a dying condition in the state of Arizona. And they cared for her tenderly for a long time. The doctors, the nurses, the friends came to see this Navajo woman in the hospital for a long time. They thought for a while that she wouldn't get well, but she did. While she was on the road to recovery, they knew she would get well. A missionary went to her and talked to her, presented to her the claims of the Lord Jesus Christ, and showed to her the plan of salvation. And this Navajo woman sat there, or rather lay there on this bed, looking up at the ceiling without saying a word to him. She was very quiet. Her eyes were half closed. And she didn't stir. She didn't move a finger, not a muscle. She just kept looking up at that ceiling. And this missionary had begun to wonder if he was making any impression on this woman at all. Finally, the doctor opened the door at the end of the ward. He stuck his head in to see about his patient, to see if she was coming along all right, or as he thought she should. And when she saw the doctor, her eyes opened up, her countenance took on a bright expression, and she looked that preacher, missionary, in the eye, and she said, "Mister, if Jesus is anything like the doctor, I can love him forever." And so that woman had trusted in Jesus Christ through seeing the doctor. My friends, that's what the world wants to see. He wants to see Christ in you and me if we're saved. He wants to see Jesus Christ in us. And so Simon Peter was sitting here among sinners and not showing Jesus Christ at all. Now let's go to verse number 56. "But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire, and earnestly looked upon him, and said, This man was also with him." You know, we wonder where John and James and Bartholomew and all the apostles were at this time. Simon Peter is the only one. who had the intestinal fortitude to come close to where Jesus was on this occasion and sit down amidst the ungodly men and warn himself. He was the only one that had that much fortitude. Where were the other apostles? Where did they go? Did they run off? Did they hide behind the Mount of Olives? Did they go back to their homes? Did they go to the River Jordan and go on a fishing expedition? They go to Jericho? Bethlehem? Where did the other apostles go? They all swore by their own lives that they stick by their master, and here they've gone. Well, anyway, a certain maid, just a little girl, about 15 years old, not older than Denise right here, a 15-year-old girl. Is Denise 15?
No.
12?
12.
No. This little girl was in her teens, and she happened to see Simon Peter sitting there among those men that were trying to warm themselves in the month of April, and it was at night, and it was cold, and they had to have a fire. And she looked over there, and this word right here, this word, let's see, looked earnestly upon him. She gazed at that guy. That's what it means. She gazed intently at him. I mean, just stared at Simon Peter. And Simon Peter stared back, and he couldn't stare her down. She stared him down. And she said, "This man was with him." Oh, boy. You know, that cut that Baptist preacher right down to the quick. It cut him to his gizzard. That did. You know, men have gizzards. Oh, yeah. A gizzard's called a liver. A man. Cut him right down to his gizzard. This man was with him, with that guy they're about to try there in that house, in that high priest's house. If he was, he was with him. Well, let's see here now, in verse number 57. And he denied him, saying, "Woman, a little girl, I know him not. I know him not." You know, my brethren, not. N-O-T, not. Not, I know him. Simon Peter puts the pressure on not in that sentence. He puts the emphasis on not. Not, I know him. Think about it now. He's run around with Jesus Christ for 3 years and a half. He has seen Jesus Christ perform miracle after miracle. He has heard Jesus Christ preach sermon after sermon. He has seen Jesus Christ raise men from the dead. He knows Jesus Christ has saved his soul. He knows he's the Messiah, the Son of God, and the Son of Man. And yet, before a bunch of ungodly sinners, instead of stiffening his backbone and taking up for Jesus Christ, he says, "Not, I know him." I don't know anything about that man. I've never met him. I've never seen him before. I have never shaken his hand. I'm not acquainted with him. I don't know him. Jesus Christ was facing the greatest crisis of his life. He was facing the shedding of his blood and losing his own life. And he needed help as he never needed before. He needed somebody to comfort him, to encourage him, to stand by him. And yet all of his apostles flee except this one man, Simon Peter. And Simon Peter says, "I don't know the guy." If there ever was a coward under God's shining sun, it was Simon Peter. A yellow-backed coward. My friends, he's not the only coward that Jesus Christ has had to deal with for the last 2,000 years. I am the same way, and you are the same way. Don't you know that? Every one of us are cowards. We're just as yellow as Simon Peter was. I've been in the same shape. I've been around sinners, and I knew I should have spoken to them about Jesus Christ, but I didn't do it. Why? Because I was a yellow-backed coward. That's right. Didn't have the guts to say, you let all accept Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, and you'd cut out your cussing, you'd cut out your gambling, you'd cut out going to Las Vegas. You'd live like men, and not like a bunch of pipsqueaks. Yeah, not I know him. I never met that guy. I don't know anybody. Just a little girl, 15 years old. This man was with him. Simon Peter should have stood up and said, yes, I was with him. He's my Savior. But he didn't know. I remember reading one time about a guy, a friend of a Baptist preacher who was a holed-up man and a kidnapper for 12 years, and he was in jail. And he met Jesus Christ while he was in jail, and Jesus Christ said, I'll go with you the rest of your sons. And they did. He and Jesus Christ went the rest of his sons. Time came for this man to be discharged from the prison. And as he was walking out the front door of that prison, the chaplain was behind him. And there was another prisoner that walked up to him and gave him a letter, 2 pages long, written with a pencil. And this letter said, Roy, he said, when I came to this prison, I hated preachers, I hated the Bible, I hated churches, I hated all Christians. But he said, for the last 2.5 years, I have been watching you. They told me that you had been saved. And I said, yeah, I said to myself, there's another guy that's going the Jesus road in order to get a payroll. I don't believe a word. I don't believe he's been saved. He said, Roy, I've watched you. When you sat at the table at meals, I watched you in the exercise yard. I watched you on the way to our cells. I watched you when you were working in the prison shop. He said, I watched you all over. And he said, you did not slip one time. And Roy, before he stepped out of that prison, he turned around to the chaplain and he said, ma'am, when I read that letter, I broke out in a sweat, a cold sweat. Think of what it would have meant to that prisoner if I had slipped even once. You know, God is watching. I mean, other men are watching you and me. Mm-hmm. They're watching me. They're watching you and you. You're watching every Christian in this house. All the world, everybody we meet, everybody we associate with, if he's a sinner, he watches us. What's that guy going to do? What's he going to say? Is he going to tell a smutty yarn? Is he going to tell some joke that's off color? Uh-huh. Is he going to make some expression that a Christian shouldn't make? Watching. This group around this fire where Simon Peter was sitting was watching him. Uh-huh, watching. That man's a preacher. He's a Baptist preacher. He claims to be a follower of that man who's in the high priest's house. What's he doing out here? Why doesn't he follow that man? He claimed to be a follower. Why doesn't he get in that house with that man they call Jesus? He's out here with us. He's sitting down, warming himself around this good fire. What's the matter with him? Uh-huh. Somebody said to me recently, Hubbard, why in this world don't you preach a sermon against Christians? You never preach a sermon against Christians. Well, I'm doing it today, Brennan. And I'm not only doing it to you, but I'm doing it to myself, because I'm as big a coward as you are. Yes, sir, I'm a coward, and I'll admit it. I am a coward. I know I can sympathize with you. Yes, I can. I can sympathize with you. I'm taking half of this sermon myself, Brother Hildreth. Yeah, half of it belongs to me. I knew it was going to be rough. I worked on this Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And I said, boy, I better not preach that. That's too hard on those people. They can't stand that. Well, they'll fire me as pastor. I'll never preach another sermon there. Well, let's keep going, Brother Tom. I'm not afraid of being fired. If I'm fired, why, fine. I'll go get another church. All right. Look at here. Now look at verse 56. And after a little while, another saw him and said. Now this another right here, this another, I want to write it up here on the board because it's very important. Another. It kind of sounds indefinite there. A-N-O-T-H-E-R, another. That's masculine gender, as Luke wrote it 2,000 years ago. And it means that a man this time was watching, not a little girl, but a man was watching Simon Peter as he sat there with that fire warming himself. You know, it took this Baptist preacher a long time to get warm. Just a long time. He was so cold. Oh, he was shivering. The icicles were pouring off of him. Oh, he was cold. And it took a long time for this guy to get warm. And so another, a man, in this verse, saw him. Yeah, somebody's always watching, you know, watching a preacher and watching Christians, and said, thou art also of them. You're of that crowd that followed that man in the high priest's house. You are of them. I know you are.
Yes, sir.
And Peter said, man, I am not. Oh, boy, here he goes again. And you know, the more Simon Peter says, I am not, the more entangled he became. Now, that's the way it is. That's the way it is. I'll tell you, every time a Christian denies Jesus Christ, he gets his feet all tangled up with barbed wire, baling wire, or something, and deeper he goes until he's so humiliated. Boy, he leaves the house and he says, I'm so ashamed of myself. Man, I feel lower than the belly of a snake. Oh, I wish I'd have said something. Why didn't I say something? You know that man that came in here this morning and asked me for $20? He said, preacher, I want $20. Okay. Here it is. Here's who tends. I didn't say a word to him about Jesus Christ. I should have, but I didn't. I have before. I've been over there several times talking to him about Jesus Christ, but I didn't say a word this morning. But when he gives me back that $20 on the 16th of November, I'm going to say, I'm going to Mr. Jones, we'd love you to come to church because you need Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. You need to be saved. You need to have him in your heart. If you had him in your heart, you'd want to come to church. You'd want to do God's will. You'd want to read the Bible. You'd want to do what God says. I'm going to say that to him next time he pays me back that $20. That'll be the 16th of November. He said, now you remember that, preacher. The 16th of November, I'm going to pay your money back. I said, all right, Mr. Jones, I'm going to look forward to the 16th. Okay, so he's watching me and I'm watching him. All right, now let's go. Let's go. 58. Verse 59. And about the space of 1 hour after, another confidently affirmed. That means he declared emphatically, loudly, saying, of a truth, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. A Galilean. A Galilean. Now, why? I wonder why they did Luke bring that up. I wonder why. Galilean. Well, the Galileans had a speech that the Judeans did not have, the people of Judea, because Galilee was way up down the north, and they spoke in a speech that the people in south Judea did not speak. He said, this guy's got a brogue, he's got an accent. He said, war, when it should be war. He's got an accent. He's got an accent that we guys down here don't have. He's a Galilean, and Jesus Christ was from Galilee, and this guy was with him. Yes, sir. He walked with him. Well, now look at the next verse. And Peter said, man, I know not what you are saying. And while he was speaking, the cock crowed. The rooster crowed. Yes, sir. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 20 and Luke 22 and 38, that Simon Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times before the rooster crows. And here it is right here. You know Simon Peter heard that rooster? Oh boy, that rooster crowed louder than he had ever crowed in his life. And he almost knocked the eardrums out of Simon Peter's ears with that crow. Yeah, Simon Peter heard that crow. And verse 61 said, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. You know that that word upon right there means in. He turned and he looked in Peter. Jesus Christ has the power to look inside of a man. He can see his soul. He can see his mind. He can see what's on the inside of a gentleman. And so, what does Simon Peter do next? He remembered the word of the Lord that he had said unto him, before the rooster crows, thou shalt deny me thrice. 3 times. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. He went out and wept bitterly. I read one time about a Highland Brigade. 150 years ago, this Highland Brigade of the British Army was obliged to go to the country of Egypt, and there they were to march all night long, and it would have been easy to lose the way. But there was a sailor with them, and this sailor said, I can follow the route by looking at the stars. And so this Highland Brigade looked at this sailor, and this sailor looked at the stars, and this sailor kept them on the right road, and by dawn they had found the enemy. And they fought the enemy in the trenches, and they defeated the enemy. And in that battle, this sailor who had led them was wounded. He was mortally wounded. And as he was laying there in his blood, a general came along, and he said, General, I led them straight, didn't I? Are you and I leading men straight today as we live our Christian lives day by day, week by week, and year by year? Or are we living as Simon Peter did and as the world does? Are we living straight lives? Lives that will cause others to see Jesus in us? How are we living? Simon Peter was a Baptist preacher. And Simon Peter knew all the time that he was denying the Lord Jesus Christ that he shouldn't have done. He knew that. He had a conscience. He knew he shouldn't have been denying Jesus Christ, but he should have been taking up for it. But he didn't do it. Are we leading men straight? I hope we are. I hope we're leading men straight. We're living as Christ wants us to live. May we stand, please. May we stand. We thank you for being in this house today. Thank you for being in God's house. We appreciate it very much. I hope you will take this lesson and this sermon and these thoughts home with you and think over them. And read this again as the week goes by. Because God's people in this age live in an age of apostasy and worldliness. And sometimes we think more of TV than we think of the Lord. Our churches are becoming more unspiritual because of worldliness in them. And you have an announcement, a word, a request for prayer.
Well, I like the church. Remember my mother, she was in a hospital this past week. She's home now. She had a collapsed lung.
All right, let's remember this mother.
I'd like to thank prayer for my grandson who's going to have surgery on his neck. I was expecting home this weekend, and he called Wednesday and said he had a cyst on his neck, and that they thought he should get that took care of the
41st. Thank you, Sister Grace, for this announcement. All right, young man.
Yeah, I would like you to remember my mother's prayer. Also, it's an awesome prayer.
All right. Remember these requests, brother. Any other requests at this time, too?
Father, he had come home yesterday from the hospital, and he's still got a long way to go.
Yeah, I'd like the church to remember the hospital is and have a lot of problems, and also that other family.
The Glenn Jones.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you very much for these requests. Any others, please, at this time? As we go to the Lord. We do the Lord at this time. We accept the grace to this Mrs. Grace.
Thank him, Father, we thank thee that we were able to draw meet in the house of the Lord once more to worship thee. We thank you, dear Lord, that all those blessings that you have given to us. We thank you, Lord, that we have a church to go to and we can hear thy word. We pray for Brother Hubbard to bring the message this morning, and we pray that it will strengthen each member that is here today, and that each one of us will watch more closely our lives and how we live before the others and never fail to talk to the unsaved. Dear Lord, we pray that all of the requests that we ask for prayer this morning, we pray, dear Lord, if it be thy will, that you will answer their prayer. We thank you for everything, dear Lord. Be with us the rest of the day and be back with us here from time to time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.